to July's In The Mix podcast. This is the last one before Sarah and I take a summer break, and we will hopefully do the next podcast in September, so keep the news items coming in. Hopefully, August will provide everyone with a chance to recharge and relax after a torrid year. As we become cautiously optimistic about the vaccination programme and COVID restrictions being lifted, we can finally start to get our heads around normal life again. But as we all know, CEMEX has been as busy as ever, and with a promising economic outlook for the rest of the year and beyond, we will stay with our foot on the floor serving our customers. I think we can all reflect and be proud of the immense achievement of keeping our business running and flourishing in 2021 so far. So, what news did July bring? The half-year health and safety review threw up some important results for the UK. There is an increasing trend in the number of contractor injuries, with the top causes of all incidents being 32% were slips, trips and falls, there were 14 handling, lifting or carrying incidents, and 11% each of contact with moving machinery, exposure to harmful substances or being hit by moving objects. The top five areas for focus going forwards are health and wellbeing, embedding the new Take 5 and permit to work forms, traffic management improvements, the rollout of the Zero for Life Today training programme, and maintaining appropriate COVID controls. The health and safety team have put together a useful document reflecting on the last 6 months and identifying opportunities for improvement. This can be found in the download section of the UK News website, and please share and discuss it with your colleagues and your teams. Remember that COVID is still with us, impacting businesses around the UK. It is important that we all continue to act responsibly and look out for each other. For the time being, the RRT has decided that the vast majority of current processes and protocols will remain in place, with the intention to reassess them in the middle of August. The health and safety of all of those who work for CEMEX continues to be the number one priority for the RRT, and this is why they have decided to take a cautious approach as the final stage of lockdown measures ease. Jim Wainwright shared a simple but effective idea which the ReadyMix Midlands team have implemented. They've installed glow-in-the-dark first aid boxes to ensure they can be easily found in the dark areas of the site. If you think that's a good idea and want some for your site, they got the boxes from Lyra Co. online. There have been some impressive LTI records being reached this month, most notably the UK Mortar team achieving 15 years LTI free, 14 years for Tilbury Supply Chain team, and a whopping 23 years for the team at Denge Quarry. July saw some good customer stories as well, with a big win for the North West team. Joined up thinking between the aggregates and the ready mix teams meant they won a significant contract to supply concrete to the new Protos Energy Recovery Facility, which is being built in Ellesmere Port. Congratulations to Danny Roberts and Jackie Horobin, who were instrumental in bringing that job home. We had our first ever Rail Collect customer, working with Kappa and DC Rail. 1,833 tonnes was initially collected from Dove Holes for customer Holbrook. Since then, a further four collections, totalling nearly 9,000 tonnes, have been made. Fittingly for Olympics month, our team in North London supplied their biggest individual pour for the new raft slab at the Saracens rugby ground. We've also supplied our NeoGem Sports sub-base material to Tranmere Rovers Football Club training ground. The Home Counties material team were proud to supply a small project for a rainbow memorial statue to commemorate the hard work of the NHS and key workers during the pandemic. The sculpture will be in the middle of the roundabout at the entrance to Stoke Mandeville Hospital in Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire. The rainbow arch will consist of 17,000 coloured tiles with plants and seating underneath. We've had a few charity fundraising stories this month, with a Three Peaks challenge being completed by Michael Firth, the AQM at Hatfield, for a friend who's been diagnosed with testicular cancer for the second time to help support his family. And Selene Cave and friends who are taking part in the magnificent challenge and have already raised nearly £500 for the Mighton Hospices in Rugby. CEMEX UK employees near Cambridge or visiting the area over the summer can now benefit from a summer 15% discount on entry to the Cambridge Science Centre, who are one of our charity partners. They run courses and workshops for families, so it'd be well worth a visit if you're in that area. We had another great article from a Marine Officer Cadet, Oliver Dyson Wood, who was on board the Cemex Hopper dredger, the Sand Fulmar. He said that working with the team was honestly the best experience he had had during his cadetship, and it had completely opened his eyes to a different type of ship. We have had 3 40-year service awards. All joined us in 1981, and there were some great old photos of them sporting various Magnum PI moustaches. So with a combined total of 120 years with the company, many congratulations to Paul Reynolds, Commercial Manager at Brighton Wharf, Paul Richards, Sustainability Manager, and Andy Barber, Quarry Manager at Barkswell, who supplied a nostalgic photo of him and his dad as Mr. July in 1985 from the old RMC calendar, and he was only 23 at the time. Special mention also has to go to Paul Clark, National Fleet Engineer, who retired at the beginning of July after 42 years with the company. We wish him all the best for a long and happy retirement. That's it for the news roundup. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And as ever, if you have any stories you'd like to see covered, please email us at inthemix@cemex.com. Now over to Sarah Murphy for our Dig Deep interview, where she talks to some of the UK's sustainability team.
Thanks, Vicky.
This month on In The Mix, I'm joined by a couple of people from our sustainability team. So I'll pass over to them so they can introduce themselves and tell you about their role.
Hi, so thanks, Sarah. My name's Miranda Clegg and I'm UK Sustainability Manager for Materials. I oversee the sustainability team in the UK, and also my role includes overseeing waste management of our landfill and recycling sites. I started at Cemex in 2007, joining the sustainability team soon after it had been formed, working directly for Andy Spencer. Before that, I worked in the waste industry and also at the Environment Agency in enforcement for 3 years. It may surprise people to know that I have a master's degree in aquaculture, which is basically fish farming. So you can imagine it's not much use in my current role.
Hello, my name's Annalee Gilbert. I'm Regional Environment Manager, looking after material sites in the Midlands and Northwest. I actually started in Rugby Cement in 1997 at the old Rugby Works and was there during the transition to RMC and also during the decommissioning of old Rugby and construction and commissioning of the new Rugby plant. I left there and went to work for a trade association for a few years, and as many people do, came back to work in Cemex in the material side of the business in 2007. Currently, I support the operational teams to deliver environmental compliance and dealing with regulators, as well as supporting developments through securing permits to operate. I also look after the UK Materials Environmental Management System, which is certified to ISO 14001, and that helps us to demonstrate our sustainability credentials to all of our stakeholders.
Brilliant. So it sounds like you're both really busy. How has sustainability evolved over the years in Cemex?
I think sustainability has changed dramatically, especially in the last 10 years, from a subject that was, I think, probably previously known as simply environment, and it was originally tagged on to the health and safety department, as many people may remember, to a hugely important focus in its own right. A few years ago, I think a lot of people thought that being sustainable and thinking of the environment was just a nice to have added extra, you know, like fluffy bunny rabbits and tree hugging. But that thinking has really changed. And I know that majority of people who work at Cemex are aware that without the focus we have on sustainability, we simply just wouldn't be able to operate. I think the definition of sustainability describes perfectly what we are trying to achieve under the sustainable umbrella, which is to ensure that we are only using what we need with regards to resources, ensuring future generations have what they need, whilst also protecting the planet and the finite resources we all have available to us. How we achieve this is down to us now, and not something that can be left for others to deal with.
Absolutely, Miranda. Sustainability has always been important from a license to operate point of view, but over the past few years, I think it's become more of a core value, a fundamental pillar of what Cemex business strategy is all about. globally, the cement sector accounts for something like 7% of CO2 emissions, which means we have a significant contribution to make to achieving global targets set by agreements such as the UN Paris Agreement on climate change. So sustainable construction is a fundamental part of achieving these sort of significant goals. CEMEX has signed up to a challenging and binding targets for CO2 reduction, and achieving these targets is linked to things like financial arrangements, as well as retaining our leading role in the sector. Now, sustainability is about legacy and continuity for our business. We need to be part of the future for sustainable construction because only innovators will survive. We've seen over the years, there's plenty of examples of market-leading companies who have been left behind when others are more innovative or where they've failed to recognise a shift in the market. We need to be the Netflix and not the Blockbuster, or the Apple and not the Nokia. That's really where sustainability is at now. At a more local level, we've had some recent feedback from our new SGS ISO 4000 auditor, who sees how many companies function, and he's very complimentary about how integrated sustainability and the environment are in our company. So it's not just an add-on or a quest for a badge, but just what we do. I think that is what has become most noticeable day to day about how sustainability has evolved in CEMEX. It's just what we do. We should congratulate ourselves for that because it's not the case for all companies.
So, Annalee, you mentioned about the CO2 targets that CEMEX has set. Do you think is it really possible to achieve a 55% reduction in CO2 by 2030 in Europe?
It's absolutely achievable. We've got a detailed roadmap of how these targets are going to be achieved. It relies on a mixture of doing all the basics, like improving energy efficiency and increasing use of alternative fuels and renewable energy, as well as introducing new and innovative technologies to reduce carbon, such as carbon capture and storage. Of course, new and innovative products like Virtua Concrete, cement and BioLow are also key. We were the first company in our sector to introduce a low carbon concrete with the option of offset for residual CO2, and this is being replicated globally. So it's absolutely achievable. We shouldn't underestimate the value of our restored quarries either in providing carbon sinks. So a carbon sink essentially absorbs CO2 from the atmosphere. Actually, even concrete itself absorbs CO2 over its lifetime, which is pretty remarkable.
Yes, going back to the original question about whether the 55% reduction by 2030 in Europe is achievable, I think it is absolutely, as Annalee said. To put it into perspective, we have already reduced CO2 emissions from our cement production by 37% since 1990 levels. So with the spotlight firmly on the remaining reduction, and with the help of our colleagues across Europe, we are certain we will achieve that 55% target. As Annalee also mentioned, we need to keep on improving the things we are already doing, as well as implementing new technologies. So keeping the focus on alternative fuel use in our kiln at Rugby, using new types of clinker that require less energy to process, using decarbonated raw materials in cement production, and making the Rugby kiln more thermally efficient so it requires less energy in the first place, are all things that we're working on. I mean, currently the electricity we buy in the UK is already sourced from 100% renewable supply, which is a huge step forward.
If people want to find out any more, there's lots of publicly available information around. And also there's other resources for CEMEX employees. So there's the sustainability pathway on the CEMEX University, there's CO2 pills on Yammer. And in the UK, we produced a new year training information quiz at the start of the year, which is still available for people to take a look at. And this gives a really basic introduction to everything that's happening. So hopefully people can find a bit more information if they want to.
So what are the big ticket items for the company in the UK to meet our targets?
I think the big ticket items will be reducing the scope one emissions, which are the ones that we produce directly as a company when we use energy on any of our sites. Scope one emissions account for 73% of all CEMEX emissions, and unsurprisingly in our UK business, the majority of these come from the cement production process at Rugby. So this is where our focus lies.
And actually, we've already seen the commitments on this in our cement business in the UK. There's been significant investments of £20 million for a new climate fuel feed system. to allow for 100% alternative fuel usage, £1.6 million for hydrogen injection units to improve combustion on the main burner, and £600,000 on a new burner pipe. These investments are important in our roadmap to improve alternative fuel rates.
There are other projects in the pipeline too, which we will see developing over the coming years, such as the use of renewable energy from solar and wind power, carbon capture technologies, and switching our diesel fleet of vehicles to electric, biodiesel, or even hydrogen-powered vehicles. We are also looking at ways of diverting road transport to both rail and water, which will have a direct impact on our Scope 3 emissions that currently make up 21% of the CO2 we emit. A good example of this is the recent Walsh CEMEX agreement to transport material from our Dagenham Wharf to Fulham concrete plant by barge, which saves over 75% of CO2 emissions equivalent by road transport and removing about 5,000 lorry movements. And we also shouldn't forget about our rail-only inert landfill at Barrington up in Cambridgeshire.
One final question for you both. What do you think is the main thing that people can do on sites to help become more sustainable?
Well, I think we obviously need to keep doing the basics well to ensure that we're complying with our permits and licences and being good neighbours, as well as doing things like minimising energy usage, water usage and waste production. So sort of reduce, reuse and recycle. What's good for the environment is also good for the bottom line too. Activity at sites is key for us to retaining our environmental credentials for customers and other stakeholders too. It's a real credit to the hard work of everyone on the sites that we've been able to retain our ISO 14001 certification, even through the challenges of COVID. And a big thank you goes out to everybody for all their help and assistance and all the hard work that they put into actually doing the sustainability stuff on sites.
Yes, I completely agree with Annalee about thanking everybody out there, because during this last year, which has been particularly challenging, we've really seen everybody's commitment to sustainability, even though they have so many other things that they're also having to think about. And then really, there are some really obvious things that we can all do on and at site level, such as in, you know, ensuring where lights aren't already on timers, they're switched off when not needed. Heaters have thermostats or on timers and they're only used when necessary. You know, it's so easy to leave a heater on in a mess room overnight when you're drying your clothes, yet a timer can ensure that it goes off after a couple of hours and yet the clothes are still dry the next morning. It's really simple, easy wins, I think, that we can all be part of. There are other things that people can do as well, such as ensuring we're recycling as much as we can by putting waste into the correct bins and even having mini composting areas for tea bags where space allows on sites. And setting up things like bird feeders and nesting boxes all contributes to what we're trying to achieve. We're all equally responsible for ensuring we maintain the fragile ecosystem, whether it be through these multi-million pound investments we've been talking about or putting our rubbish in the correct bins. Every little bit really, really helps.
So thank you so much, Miranda and Annalee, for joining us today. Great to hear all about what the sustainability team are doing and how important your work is for the business.
You're very welcome, Sarah. It was really good to catch up with you today.
Yes, thanks, Sarah.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
That's it for this month's In The Mix. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. As always, you can get in touch with us on inthemix@cemex.com or visit our usual communication channels, including UK News, Yammer and now Spark too. We hope you all have a fantastic summer and can enjoy a well-deserved break. Take care and we'll speak to you soon.